Name of Peter, and this is 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter is now continuing with his thoughts right here. Okay, and regarding, when he says the word likewise, okay, there is an addition to his previous thought. Okay, for we were as sheep going astray. That's what he says in chapter 2, verse 25. We were as sheep going astray. Okay, but are now returned in the shepherd and bishop of our soul. Now he says the word return there, draw a line from the word return to the word subjection in chapter 3, verse 1. Okay, returned. Okay, there's a form of reciprocation involved with this. So in order for Peter to teach us this, as the Apostle Paul did, okay, remember when Paul talks about husbands and wives, okay, what he's really showing us is a comparison regarding the church. Okay, the church in comparison with Christ and the church. Okay, so when he says, likewise, you wives, he says, as a church is joined to Christ to build, okay, showing attention to his interests, so also you wives. Okay, and regarding it, so likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, as we are to Christ. Okay, so that if any obey not the word, okay, as concerning to spurn this knowledge of God, obey not the word, spurning the knowledge of God, they also may without the word, okay, that is, may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Okay, and also they also may without the word, okay, because you're voicing concern, okay, all they're going to do is observe their voicing of concern. That's what they're going to observe. Okay, but without voicing the concern, they're going to observe your temperament. Okay, it's a temperament that speaks the gospel. Okay, as our temperament of Christ. See, our temperament shows by the work of regeneration we're accepted of him. Okay, as also this union, okay, is also showing, okay, a temperament. He also may be won without, maybe without the word, okay, be won by the conversation of the wives, okay, or spouse, okay, through the three R's: revelation, resistance, and reward. Okay, the goal will be achieved through your consistencies. Okay, so there's a parallel there. God is using this as a parallel. Okay, the goals will be achieved through consistencies. Okay, the goal will not be achieved through debate. Okay, goals are achieved through consistencies. Okay, because then he goes back and regarding concerning Adam was first, and then Eve was given to him as a gift. Okay, but it wasn't given. The gift wasn't given for the purpose of tyranny. The gift was given for the purpose of building. Okay, like putting cement and a brick together. Okay, like putting cement and the cement. Okay, is similar to the brick, but it's different in appearance. Okay, but when they're joined together, there shows that there's a strength involved, a bonding. Okay, so this is what he's showing right here. As the Spirit joins us to Christ, there's a bonding of strength. Okay, is that of the union of the male and the female. And there's a bonding for building. Okay, points of contact. Okay, as through this contact, okay, there's a communication through this form of contact as the grace of God. By God, as God communicates to us, okay, grace is a form of communication. Okay, contact is a form of communication. Okay, so while they behold, okay, verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation, as concerning not being loud or boastful. Okay, but he says here, while they behold your chaste conversation, as God beholds our behavior, okay, our behavior of faith, he rewards us. Okay. So while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, that's the fear of God, okay, and showing reverence to spiritual things. Okay, we show reverence to spiritual things by utilizing them. Okay, so we can see the same thing in this union. Okay, and regarding now he's going to use Abraham and Sarah as an example. Okay, and regarding that through her consistencies, okay, by being joined to Abraham's faith, God bridged the signature. Okay. But she, her and Abraham, okay, were being, you know, half brother, half sister, okay. Their consistencies was for the purpose of bridging this, okay. Bridging this, that means the void. There's a void there, okay, which is a curse, okay. So by building together, that void or you see vortex was bridged, okay, by the grace of God, so that she bore children, and Abraham also had strength. Okay, and this is what now what Peter says about that is the same thing the Apostle Paul says about that. Okay, in Romans chapter 4. If we go over there real quickly to Romans chapter 4, you'll see that. In Romans chapter 4. Okay, now in Romans chapter 4, we're gonna see how the Apostle Paul brings that out as what Peter is saying. Okay, even as Abraham. Okay, And he goes on here. Okay. Okay, for the in verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to see through the law, but the righteousness of faith. Okay, verse 14. Okay, for if they which are the law be heirs, remember he's talking about regarding Moses and the covenant of Christ, be heirs, faith is made void, a promise made in effect. Because the law works wrath, where no law is there no transgression. I'm reading into it. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. You see the elements here. Right, to the end, the promise might be sure as a seal to all the seed. Okay, that we are carrying the same rhythm. When he says to the seed, we are walking in the same rhythm as our father Abraham. That's why we're called children of Abraham, not children of Moses. Okay, because we're in rhythm with the promise or the revelation of Spirit. Okay, not to that only which is the law, but that also which is faith of Abraham, who was the father of us all. Okay, as is written, okay, I have made you a father of many nations. That Abraham, I'm going to use you as a prototype. Okay, and regarding the presentation of Christ, when Christ comes, okay, he's also going to sire a seed, as it says in Isaiah. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, before him whom we believed, even God, who quickens the dead. This is what I'm pointing out here, who quickens the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, believed in hope. A contradiction existed. Okay, there's a void. Okay, the presence of death. Okay, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken and revealed. Okay, so the children, your offspring will follow this same pattern. So shall thy seed be. Revelation, resistance, reward. Okay, that in regarding your signature, okay, in regarding your signature, God will use your signature against you. Okay, for the purpose of your sufferings. Okay, so the knowledge of God, the knowledge which God gives you, and in regarding the rhythm of your own signature, become a contradiction. Okay, that's where suffering and grace come in. Okay, suffering and grace. Because we always lived in rhythm with our own oath, or the oath of our signature. But now God has given us a hope and a revelation. Okay, whereas this must be crucified. Okay, putting to death the aspiration. Okay, of this, the manifestation of this must be crucified. Okay, who against hope believed in hope. Okay, against all odds and what God has revealed to him. Okay, he continued to progress by the revelation. That's the same thing we're doing. We're progressing by revelation. Okay, that he might become the father of many nations as a pattern and record, according to that which is spoken. So shall I see be, and be not weak in faith. Verse 19, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay, now we can jump back to Peter. Okay, whereas he'll be bringing up Abraham and Sarah here in verse 6. Okay, so Peter and Paul learned this from Peter. Okay, and Peter unfolded these things to the Apostle Paul. Okay, and regarding his instruction. Okay, that the promise was given to Abraham before circumcision. So therefore circumcision, okay, the circumcision of natural things, okay, was added on. Okay, and regarding also the circumcision of our own hope is added on. Okay, the circumcision of our hope. What God is doing within us, okay, and that which we're living in expectation of. Okay, healing of the healing of the spirit, the soul, the body. All right, who's adoring? Let not be the outward adoring. We'll go on here. And we're now back in 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 3. Who's adoring? Let not be the outward adoring. Okay, because we're reverent spiritual things. The outward adoring, again, has to do with the projected pride of these vain things, the projected pride of the signature. Whose adoring let not be the outward adoring of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on apparel. Okay, not that which is loud and showy fashion to hypnotize the passion. That's what it's there for. Okay, the tokens of is hypnotic. Okay. Okay, we're not emphasizing those things. Okay, this is what Peter is bringing out. He's showing that which is the hypnosis of the law in comparison to that which is the subjection of grace. Okay, grace doesn't work with those things which hypnotize the mind, which Satan does. Okay, Satan uses the law to hypnotize, and this is what Paul said also in Galatians. Okay, if we turn over there, okay, in the book of Galatians chapter, Galatians chapter 3. Okay, whereas he gave he used the word bewitched in verse 3. Okay, or chapter 3, verse 1. He used the word bewitched. to identify this hypnotic state of the law. Okay, how the hypnotic state of the law puts you into a state of mind of being unfruitful to God. Okay, so O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That's verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ, being our true token, okay, has been evidently sent forth, crucified among you. Why was he crucified? Okay, to put to death the power of the law. Now we'll go back here to what Peter has said. So we're not using the law in all the powers of its hypnotic state, okay, which keeps us from being fruitful in God's kingdom, okay, with the tools of the covenant. So let it be the hidden man in the heart, verse 4. Okay, is that the concealed power of Christ in the soul? Okay, in a soul, sealing or sowing eternal things. Okay, but let it be the hidden man in the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of a great price. Let me go over verse 4 again. So let it be, in my own notes I put this, but let it be the hidden man or the concealed power of Christ in a soul. Okay, sowing eternal things, okay, which is not corruptible, okay, but displaying openly his virtue. Okay, explain openly his virtue in your temperament, okay, and not the loud, not being loud in one's aspiration, okay, which is in the sight of God, that which is the ornament, meek and quiet spirit, okay, before his eye, okay, he sees value through the contribution, okay, of your priesthood, sees value through the contribution of your priesthood, which is in the sight of God of a great price, okay, that's what God is looking at. This is why Peter is writing these things. He's using this relationship, the male and female relationship, in order to help us understand that relationship we have with Christ. And that's why he's using it. Okay, because so the Apostle Peter, Chief Apostle Peter, okay, is showing through this our assigned duties to take on his perspective and to build his name and with his tools, his house. Okay, and not to steal and build a shrine to our own. Okay, to our own aspirations. Now, verse 5. For after this manner, okay, as we read earlier, okay, so we see a pattern of Christ emerged by this commitment. We see the pattern of Christ emerged by this commitment. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women, as Sarah, who also trusted in God, okay, as believing in covenant, okay, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands, okay, yielding their will and focus to his goals, and not fighting for recognition of themselves. Now you see that in a false religious system or in the world. In the world, there's always a struggle for identification, and they're always having identification crises. Right? That's the way it is. There's always conflict because you got gods, you got these two gods, right, of two different prejudices, and you're trying to unite together to build one form. Okay, so Peter was showing this as Christ is being joined to Christ, as the church is being joined to Christ. Okay, we subject ourselves by taking on his goal. Okay, when you take on his goal, okay, then that which God has assigned to us becomes more defined. Mm-hmm. It becomes defined. You begin to emerge in the beauty of your power. Okay, at that time. But as long as there's the conflict, okay, everything continually remains concealed and abused. All right. Now, remember, before Adam transgressed against God, God gave Adam a token of himself. Okay, but it was in a different form, called Eve. Okay, woman. Okay, God took from Adam just one little portion of himself, a portion, and then with that created a whole entity. Okay, and that's what he's doing with us, a portion for a whole. Okay, that's a tithe, a portion for a whole. Okay, so taking that portion from Adam, okay, he created a whole entity as a gift. I'm just going to ask you for a little thing, but in return, you're going to be greatly blessed. You see, this is what God does. Okay, we give him the voice of charity. God gives us the tokens of eternal life. And these tokens, see, yeah, reciprocation. It's these tokens that really define us who we are. So when Eve was brought to Adam, okay, she entered into his light. Light entered into light. Okay, and by that immersion, if you will, and by that joining, like jumping into a lake or jumping into water, okay, by that immersion, Adam became, there was a union of understanding and contact and passion, okay, which he never experienced before. Of course he didn't experience it before. He didn't have the opportunity to experience that before. Okay, that union, Okay, there was no flesh barrier there. There was no prejudice. No prejudice had been molded yet in either of them. No prejudice, but perfect, pure perfection. I just saw a light, a beam of light just hit down here. That was really cool. It's like a beam of light right down here. Okay. There was a complete immersion. And this is what, and of course, every relationship and goal is to try to resolve that barrier. Okay, regarding that. And numerous volumes of books have been written to try to resolve that and psychologically. Okay, see, but it still remains because of the barrier, the wall. Okay, because God put a wall there called a curse. Okay, he put a wall. We see that in the book of Genesis. Okay, when they lost their light, okay, now everything took a different position. Okay, a building. Okay, so here, there is a complete immersion. Okay, and that, now during the millennium, it's going to happen again. There will be a complete immersion of soul. Okay, and of course, right now, we only can do that with very small tokens. Okay, we do it with tokens of objects as tokens of touch. Okay, small tokens to try to communicate. Okay, they're in the very small. Okay, whether it be a word, a touch, or a token. Okay, a ring or a bracelet or necklace, okay? Okay, whether it be, those are certain tokens, okay, that identify certain things, okay? Which, it's very small, but that's all, but that's the extent, okay, that you can get because of that barrier that's there. But during the millennium, okay, as angels, okay, you'll be, the immersion of the gender, okay, be so complete, it's completely different, mm-hmm. Okay? That's concerning. That's why the angels, when they breed, okay, they can breed by telepathically. They can breed. They can breed by a breath. They can breed by substance. Okay. They can breed by thought. Thought, breath, substance, fire. Okay. They can do those things. See. Okay, but we are very restricted. Okay. We're very restricted in that. Okay. But the symbolisms are there. They're there. It's just not man is not aware of those things concerning the waters. Now you can understand the waters. Okay, why in the waters breed within the waters. Okay, the waters bring within the waters. Okay, now we'll go on here. Okay, the hidden man of heart. Okay, let's go on here. Verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God, being in covenant, adorned themselves, being subjection to their own husbands. Okay, to focus on the goals, and that, of course, not finding for recognition for themselves. Okay, so it's defined through union. Okay, the gender is defined through union, not separate. Even as Sarah, here we go now, obeyed Abraham, okay, which means even as Sarah, which means this showing this pattern. Even the word even there, even as Sarah, she showed a pattern. Okay, in this, this is why Peter, the Apostle Peter, as well as Paul, okay, and the Spirit of the Lord uses this to teach us something. He's using this to teach us something. Even as Sarah obeyed him. Okay, obeyed him, calling him Lord. Okay, in the presence of the merchants. Okay, when merchants would be invited to Abraham's place of business. Okay, Sarah, of course, his wife, of course, would show him. Okay, that title of respect, calling him Lord. Okay, and that's what we do with our Lord. Okay, we show him title of respect. Okay, in the presence of merchants. Okay, but we know also that apart from that. Okay, there's like a different machinery involved. There's a machinery that's public and there's a machinery that's private. Okay, you see the same thing in Sarah's life. Okay, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are. Okay, as long as you do well, that you are now at this point seeking the good. Okay, seeking the good to build. Okay, and are not afraid of with any amazement. Okay, you're seeking the good and not fearing his counsel or the direction of change. That's what means the word amazement. Not fearing the counsel or direction of change, but building. Okay, there's an understanding, yeah, this knowledge. But then he says also here, likewise you husbands, in showing equity as gods, as husbands, showing equity as gods, he says, be fair and reasonable. Okay, and also responsibilities. Okay, learning, of course, learning as you grow. And that's the same thing. We're learning of our Lord by growing with him. Okay, we're learning of him by growing with him. Okay, God is nurturing each stage of our experience. Okay, but as He continues to issue grace, so what you know right now, okay, is going to be different than what you know a year from now. Okay, what you know from a year now is going to far exceed the sowing of this little seed right here. And it's going to be way greater than that. Okay? All right. So likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Okay? So which means there's a point of commitment, okay, of communication. Okay, knowledge. That's what we live by. We live by knowledge. We're gods. Okay? Giving honor to the wife as concerning observing God's title. Okay, observing God's title as saints. Okay, and showing long suffering. Okay, so he says, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Okay, that's the long suffering. Remember we said that? God is teaching us long suffering with each other, as also we must learn and observe this long suffering in the third covenant. Okay, long suffering. As our Father in heaven is long suffering with us because of our ignorance, okay, we also are long suffering with other entities because of ignorance. Okay? Okay, the experiences of the gender, okay, are so vast and different. Okay? So it takes communication and contact, okay, in order to try to resolve, and it takes long suffering, okay, long suffering, okay, between the gender, okay, as also between us and the Lord. Okay, as unto a weaker vessel, okay, as being, then he brings it right here, as being heirs together the grace of life. In comparison. Okay, there's a joining here that bridges this. Okay, it says right here, together, joining the bridge. It says heirs together. See, so I'll highlight the word together there. Heirs together. So the word heirs right there has to do with that. Okay, as the male as the female, okay, are really equal as gods. Equal as gods. Before the mind of God. Okay? And we're uniting to build. We're uniting to build. That's what is heirs together, the grace of life. And then he says right here, this is why, that your prayers don't be hindered. This form of communion which we have with God, okay, well, again, put aside bitterness and suspicion. Okay, there's nothing more destructive in a marriage than bitterness and suspicion. Okay, but the bitterness and the suspicion begin to emerge, okay, because of the lack of knowledge and understanding. Okay, the perspective of one individual, okay, is going to be a little different than the perspective of the other individual. The goals could even be the same, okay, but the line of travel to the goals may be different. Okay, one might take an airplane, the other might take a boat, but you still arrive at the same destiny. Okay, and this is what the Lord is teaching us. Okay, God is teaching us is that my goals for you, okay, are different than your perspective. But if you're patient, you will arrive there. If you're patient, you will arrive there. Okay, that your prayers be not hindered. Okay, finally, be of all of one mind. Okay, and of course, he's talking about here, that is with the goal we work together as a team under his coaching. Okay, be finally, and regarding this parallel, okay, concerning Christ and the church, okay, be of one mind. We have a perspective by this knowledge. We're building by this one knowledge. So that's what we're doing right here. This is a miracle, mm-hmm. Okay, what's taking place. Mm-hmm. Okay, because we're all building together by the mm-hmm. same Spirit. Okay, that is a miracle, no matter what your gender is. Okay, we're all building together. Okay, mm-hmm. So finally, be of all one mind. Okay, we're working as a team. He says, one mind, we have teamwork. Okay, as those that built the wall of the temple, or the walls of Jerusalem and the temple during Ezra and Nehemiah's reign. Finally, be of all one mind. Okay, so with this goal in mind, we work together as a team under God as a coach. Okay, having compassion one of another. And he says, love his brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous. Again, that's long suffering. That's the way our Father is with us. Pitiful and courteous. Mm-hmm. We're watching out for each other's welfare. That's what Paul said. Paul said the same thing. Okay, in Philippians, watching out for each other's welfare. So I'm going to turn over there real quickly in the book of Philippians. Okay, and in Philippians, look not every man his own things, but every man also in the welfare of others, in the things of others. So Paul said the same thing. Okay, and regarding this union and communion. Okay, and that's in Philippians 2:4. Look not every man his own things, but every man also in things of others. And then he says right here, let this mind be in you. Okay? Don't work with suspicion, work with knowledge. Okay? Don't work with suspicion, work with knowledge. Okay, so look not every man his own things, but every man also in things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, though not robbery to be equal with God. This is a great mystery here. So even though God was in other dimension, he was in a dimension of himself. He never was severed from himself. He was never severed from himself. He was in another dimension of himself. Okay? Okay, but being in this form, okay, God assigned himself great restriction. That's why Jesus in turn stoned the bread. Okay, which he could have very easily, being God. Okay, he easily could have, very easily could have done that. But as Jesus was subject to the Father, we also are subject to Christ. Okay, as Jesus was subject to the Father, we're subject to Christ. Okay, and that we're not utilizing the powers of the imagination and see for the purpose of outcome, but we're working with consistency the tools of the covenant. Okay? So being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God. We see Abraham say here. Okay, but made himself of no reputation, okay, coming forth as a rival. Okay, took on him the form of a servant, which we also read about here, a subject one to another. Okay, and made a likeness of men. Okay, having all the attributes of infirmity, yet being God in the sinner and his soul, having all the attributes of humanity, he had to eat, he had to sleep. If he cut himself, he bled. Okay, as an example. Okay, and all the other things that are worth that. Okay, now we're back to Peter. Okay, looking out for each other's welfare, not rendering evil for evil. You know, evil for evil. Verse 9. Okay, I think, did we go through that yet? I'll just go through it here. Not rendering evil for evil. Okay, not to seek to undermine. Okay, the goals. Okay, with emotional injury or false knowledge. Okay, but as, of course, that is as the world does. Okay, but contrawise. Okay, as being a servant of God. But contrawise, blessing. Advancing. We're advancing by the tokens. Contrawise is advancing. Okay, not as the world. Okay, the world utilizes the wisdom in order to lend value and title to their own signature, but we utilize the tokens of Christ and lend value and tokens, okay, and value and substance and increase to God's kingdom. So we're advancing His interest, and that pleases the Lord. And we'll go on here. We'll see that. Okay, that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. In return, you're going to see progress. In return, you're going to see progress. As Sarah, okay. In turn, she saw progress, and what happened? She laughed. Okay, she laughed. Okay, at the paradox, she laughed. Mm-hmm. The angel said, "You laughed," so we know she did. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the laughter has to do with the paradox that emerged from this. Okay, unusual phenomena that took place. Okay, who would ever have said that Sarah would bear children? Who would ever said that the church could be restored? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I'd laugh too. Mm-hmm. Name regarding that. Okay, it is a phenomena that's way beyond human capability. But God put Sarah in that condition, okay, for challenge and reward. And God put us in the position, okay, for challenge and reward. Same. See that? Same thing. Okay, beyond human capabilities. Okay, it's a sign and a wonder. Beyond human capabilities. Okay, bridging the signature. Okay, that you should inherit a blessing. Okay, in return, seeing this progress. Now, in verse 10, for he that will love life as to embrace the true charity of life, Christ. For he that will love life, as Jesus says, as my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So here, the Apostle Peter, remembering those things, okay, is expressing this in this parallel comparison. He that will love life and see good days. Okay, in good days, which means if you want peace and you want to see equity in this time frame, let him refrain as a bridle his lips. Let him refrain his tongue, okay, from evil to bridle. That's what James talked about. The Apostle James said the same thing. Let him bridle his tongue. In other words, direct your words with wisdom. Okay, let him bridle his tongue from evil. Okay, as don't walk through the earth with your tongue. Okay, remember that in Proverbs? The wicked walk through the earth with their tongue. In other words, all they're doing, okay, is speaking of the filth of the world. Right? That's what he's talking about. Okay, but our tongues have been sanctified. Okay, so we speak of the things of God's kingdom. Okay, two different kingdoms there. Okay, refrain his tongue from evil and his lips. Okay, that he speak no guile. Okay, so because we're directing our conversation wisdom of God, Satan's echoes are not seen. Okay, are not produced. Satan's echoes are not produced. Okay, in this charity. Okay, and his lips they speak no guile, thus subduing the boasting of aspirations. Let him eschew evil and do good. You see how Peter emerged right into this thought? See how he emerged into this? He began, all right, let's go back to verse 1. In verse 1, look what he talks about. Okay, in verse 1 he talks about, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. See, you see how he interjected that? Okay, that thought right there. Really, he wasn't addressing the gender. Okay, but he was using it as a parallel. That's why he injected it in there like that. Okay, it flows. Mm-hmm. It flows. See, because we're returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls, there's a flow of relationship, mm-hmm. a building, an understanding, a bridging. Okay? The bridging. Our souls were like a womb void of eggs. Okay, but God now put his tokens in there and makes us a fruitful person. Okay, so that through this form of engagement, okay, we now can bear fruit to him abundantly without, where there's no end to it. All right, let's go back to verse 11. Let him eschew evil. Okay, let him eschew evil to avoid the world's counsel. And that's what we see in Psalms 1. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, okay, nor stands in the way of sinners. We don't stand in the justification of the wisdom world. We stand in God's justification of faith in Christ. So verse 11, let him eschew evil and do good. Okay, as concerning eschew evil means avoiding the world's counsel in which Satan hides. Okay, and Satan hides, and we are to seek equity by faith. Eschew evil and do good. Satan hides in the shadows, okay, of the imagination, and is always willing to volunteer. His wisdom, called the wisdom of the world, which is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Okay, that's exactly what James said. Apostle James said that. It's earthly, sensual, and devilish. It always addresses the conflict of the conscience, okay, and regarding the passions of Adam. It always works for that. Okay? Because Adam looks at his flesh as sin. God doesn't. Okay, God looks at the infirmity, okay, and regarding an ally, but at the same time also regards it as an enemy if you yield to it, if you work with it. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's a friend and an enemy. Okay, so let me eschew evil and do good. Okay, seeking equity. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Okay, as running in a race. Okay, we're running. We have a goal. Okay, our goal. Okay, is continually. Our goal is accomplished. Okay, just by sitting in the ship. Okay, the ship is brought to the port not because you're pushing it there. All you're doing is sitting in the cabin. The ship is bringing you there. Okay, and that's the same thing. Your priesthood will bring you there. All you got to do is rest, sit, work with the tools. The ship brings you to your destiny, Christ through your priesthood is going to bring you into the inheritance. Mm-hmm. Same. Okay? So let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Okay? Because it's that bonding factor as the atoms. Okay? Atoms and their electrons. Okay? And how the electrons by exchange bond together to produce a substance. Okay? Okay? And so also, okay, with these elements. Okay, with the elements of grace and truth, through the priesthood, we're bonding with him, and by our bonding with him, okay, there's another element produced from that, okay, as we also have in our chart. The eyes of the Lord, okay, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The angel of God covers you as with a garment. Okay, this is what it says in Psalms. Okay, what Peter's quoting right here is the same thing in Psalms. Okay, and regarding he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, Psalms 91, shall dwell in the shadow of the Almighty, okay, which means we are standing justified in the orb of His light, okay, in the temple with the tools, with your priesthood. So the eyes of the Lord, the angel of the Lord covers you as with a garment. Okay, as we see also in relation, okay, when the Shekinah of the Lord came upon the tabernacle, they entered into the garments of the Lord. Okay, and that's what he says. If you only know the time of visitation, okay, even as a chicken gathers her brood, okay, chicken. If you would come into my light, I would be your shield and protection. Okay, Psalms 91 is completed in Christ. Okay, we see the same thing. So the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. The angels of God cover you as with a garment. Okay, the garment or over the righteous garment, which means cover, over. His ears are very attentive, are open unto their prayers. God discerns the voice of his children, okay, even as Isaac discerned the voice of his children. Isaac, okay, when it came to him, okay, he discerned their voices. Okay, the voice is Jacob's, okay, but the hairy hand seems to be Esau's, okay. Okay, that God is also discerning of the voice of his own children. He knows our voice. Okay? Okay? So the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, discerning. But the face of the Lord is hid. He turns his back to the wicked. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Being turned from their presence, the wicked only see the back parts of God. And when you see the back parts of God, you stand alone. When you see the back parts of God, you stand alone. You're independent of Him. Who is he that will harm you if he follows that which is good? What is that which is good? Your priesthood. Okay. And regarding no injury, God will not assign injury or curse to you. Okay, if you follow through in your priesthood. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, okay, enduring the contradiction for Him. Okay, but if you suffer righteousness' sake, happy are you. Okay, because God will reward your faith and your consistency, and of course not to withdraw. So don't be afraid of their terror, nor be troubled. Okay, which of course is a sign of the derision, okay, and also as a token of your consistencies. Okay, that's another point of discernment for you. Derision on the wicked, okay, can only be seen, okay, by the righteous. But the wicked cannot see their own wickedness. They can't see it. Because they think that their wickedness is good. Because Satan has turned that around on their thinking. He's playing with their head. Okay, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Okay, that's a contradiction. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, particularly of their wiles. That is, don't withdraw because of their wiles. Neither be troubled. Okay, as to assess their boasting is true. Okay, because that's what Satan is good at. Satan is really good at projecting a boast. Okay, that's all he's good at. He's a good actor. Okay. Okay, but he possesses no substance. Okay, he's a very shallow person, and so are his children. Very shallow. They possess no good substance of character. Okay. Okay, but sanctify how? In the temple with the tools, the Lord God in your hearts. Okay, as a temple and an altar, and be ready always to give an answer as replying in faith to every man that challenges you. They ask you reason and hope that is in you with meekness and fear, being in the fear of the Lord. You're able to communicate effectively this knowledge. And this is what Peter is writing to those whom we steward, that they're able to communicate effectively their faith. And so through this form of consecration, you're going to be able to do the same thing, communicate effectively your faith. Okay. Having a good, a good conscience. You that? Remember we talked about a good conscience, verse 16, so highlight that. Okay, a good conscience. So what Paul, we read about that this morning, okay, in Hebrews 9, and here we see it again. A good conscience. In fact, he's going to repeat it again in verse 21. A good conscience. You could draw a line from verse 16 to 21 if you can. Okay, a conscience that's void of offense toward God. Okay, and being free of Satan's yoke. A good conscience. That which is of faith. Having a good conscience that whereas they, now the word they right there, now here Peter is showing contrast as Paul showed contrast. They, them and us. Them and us. Remember, John talked about that. Peter talked about that. Paul talked about that. The contrast is for your learning and discernment. Okay? So here, Peter said, those which have the defiled conscience, okay, will always debate with you of how is it that you can have a good conscience and I can't. Okay, that's because you're trying to embrace God by the fingers of the moral code, and I'm embracing Him by faith. Okay? The moral code, the fingers of the moral code are full of blood. Okay? But the fingers of faith is full of light. Okay, your finger, you have been washed. You have washed yourself. Okay, with grace. So having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, those which are an evildoer, those which are out of rhythm. Okay, no, they're out of rhythm with God, but we are in rhythm with God. But we're out of rhythm with their aspiration, and because we're out of rhythm with their aspiration, they think we're the bad people. Okay, but they're the ones that are rioting against God. We're not. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be ashamed, having no evidence or proof of indifference. They may be ashamed, okay, that falsely accused, the word falsely accused also means to exaggerate the facts. And don't they do that very well? That's Satan doing that. Exaggeration of facts, and that's what Jesus said. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Okay, because we mean falsely, which means exaggerations. Satan lived by exaggerations when he's in seventh heaven, and he's still doing that today, and his children are carrying on that theme and tradition. The children of Satan are carrying on the tradition of exaggeration. It's all about the what ifs, okay, or what could be. But never what is and what is now. Okay, what ifs and what can be. Okay, these are the evildoers. Okay, they're only in rhythm with their own false knowledge, okay, which is being carried forth by their passion, doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. Okay, as evildoers, that they may be ashamed. Really, there is no evidence to the contrary. They're trying to put it there so they can accuse you. Okay, they're trying to put the evidence there. Okay, it's like a corrupt police officer dropping cocaine in your car. And then claiming that he found it in there. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's what Satan does. Okay, he tries to produce false evidence against you so that you could be accused before God. Okay, mm-hmm. And be judged as a sinner. Right? So whereas they speak against you, or they speak evil of you as of evildoers, through these exaggerations, there is no substance forthcoming. Okay, and they'll stand there ashamed. Okay, which they're not achieving what they want. We're going to offer sacrifice here in a moment. Okay, that falsely accuse through their exaggerations your priesthood, which is your good conversation in Christ. Your priesthood is your good conversation in Christ. And your conduct. Okay, you're adorning the gospel of Christ. Okay, through the conduct of priesthood and temperament of regeneration. So you're replacing your aspiration with faith, you're replacing your principle with truth, you're replacing covetousness with moderation and temperament and the temperament of his kingdom. Okay, through the work of regeneration. And at this time, we'll start offering sacrifices.